up to the roosters. Eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go do overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
Welcome to the Great Mornings Podcast. I'm super stoked about this. I know a lot of you have already been talking to me over the last year, maybe even two, about Cray, why don't you just do a podcast? You should do a podcast. Everybody's doing a podcast, but I just had to wait for the right timing. And I think that right now is the perfect timing, or for the sake of the podcast title, it's great timing. So listen, family, throughout this particular broadcast, as this is the introduction, today is the launch day. I want to talk to you a little bit about me so you can kind of get to know me, for especially for all of you that are new listeners, that maybe this is the first time that you've ever heard me before. And hopefully that's a lot of you. But then for those of you that have been consistently supporting me, then I just want to maybe give you some stuff that you didn't know about me. And then we're going to talk about what this podcast will offer, how you can connect to me. And then I just want to drop a few things that I've dealt with throughout this journey of ministry and business and entrepreneurship and just life. So we're going to talk about that. But first, I'm going to introduce myself. Obviously, as I mentioned, my name is James Earl Cray Jr. I was named after my father, who deceased in 2006. But many of you just know me as J.E. Some of you call me Cray. Some people call me James. Some call me James Earl. I really don't like, this is crazy, but I really don't like to be called by my first name alone. Like, I really don't like to be called James or James Cray. I really love my whole name. I really love my name, James Earl Cray. As to why, I talk to y'all in a few minutes about my daughter's name. My daughter, my one daughter, is Jordan Elizabeth Cray. But we'll expound upon that in a few minutes. I was born November 22nd, 1983 in Hollywood, Florida. I was born on Thanksgiving Day. So throughout my life, my birthday has fallen on Thanksgiving, which as a kid and in grade school, that was very interesting and very exciting. But now as an adult, it don't really make a difference. I just celebrate it whenever it comes. But again, I was born November 22nd, 1983. Fun fact, I was born in Hollywood, Florida. I call Hazelhurst, Georgia, my hometown. That's in Southeast Georgia. But now I currently live in Santa Maria, California, which is about an hour, 30, hour, 45 minutes north of Los Angeles, California. And the fun fact is, I was born in Hollywood, Florida, and now I live about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes from Hollywood, California. So that's a fun fact for me. A couple people that know me well talked about it. We laughed about it. But that's kind of where I am right now in my life. I'm a pastor, which has been a journey for me as a lead or senior pastor for the last 4 years. I pastor my home church, that I call it, the church that God allowed me to find, along with a couple other people, in Hazelhurst, Georgia, which is called Impact Church of Hazelhurst. That is my baby. That's my heart. I will always have my hands on that ministry. But this year, in the midst of a global pandemic, God called me to transition from Impact Church of Hazelhurst to True Vine Bible Fellowship of Lompoc, California. So right now I'm currently serving as the pastor of both churches, which, as long as God would allow me and each ministry will allow me, I'm going to do that for a while until we get comfortable and find a right campus pastor at Impact. But I will always oversee Impact. So right now I'm currently pastoring both churches, but I spend the majority of my time in California at True Vine Bible Fellowship. That's where my assignment is right now. That's what I do for, if you will, for most people will say like their day job, that's what I do. But then I'm also an entrepreneur. I have several business ventures that I'm working on. That's enough introduction stuff. I can mention a whole lot of other things. I went to Troy University on a full athletic scholarship, played football at Troy University for my first 4 years. And then I transferred my senior year to play at Alabama State, transferred back to Troy to graduate undergraduate political science degree. I stayed at Troy after the NFL didn't work out for me. That was my dream. Stayed at Troy University to get a master's degree. Got a master's degree in sport and fitness management with a concentration in fitness and nutrition. I started working at the university as a campus mailman, and then I got a step up. I started working as an admissions counselor, recruiting academic students, and then I became an adjunct professor because really something that many of you may not know, all my life I wanted to be a teacher. Like, I went to college wanting to be a teacher, but I was encouraged to major into something else so I could stay eligible for football. That's a whole nother podcast session. That's a whole nother topic that we may talk about later on. But for the sake of today, that's all the introduction I'm going to do. I know I just said that a minute ago, but that's all the introduction I'm going to do. I want to go ahead and dive into what I want to talk to you about and maybe drop some nuggets on you that will encourage you and make you come back to the podcast next week, because it's going to be off the chain. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So every business venture I got right now, with the exception of the churches that I'm connected to, somehow has great in its name. And I want to talk about that because a lot of people probably see me early on. I started out, man, probably 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even longer than that. What year is this? 2021. So you're talking 2011. Yeah. So maybe 10, 12 years ago, I started out with these Be Great text messages. I had like this, the big text message, the mass texting deals. I had one of those that I paid for, and I would send out these encouraging text messages every Monday, and I would always hashtag them when hashtags became big. I would hashtag it Be Great, and people used to be like, where you get that from? I was saying Be Great honestly before a lot of people were saying it. Like, I know it's kind of a big thing now, but I was doing it all caps, Be Great, almost like one word. So that was a part of who I was, and a lot of people still remember me for that. And that became the name of a nonprofit organization. So I had a nonprofit organization along with a group of other people in my hometown. We started a nonprofit organization just to give back to our community, to do some things in the community back in Hazelhurst, Georgia. And when we were trying to find a name for it so that we could, you know, do all the paperwork and all of the logistics and legalities for a nonprofit, we were sitting in a meeting with some other seniors from our community, and they were like, why don't you just call it James Earl Cray Foundation? And I've never been fond of naming stuff after me, right? I've never really been fond of that. And I was like, nah, I can't name it that. So I was thinking of all these kind of things. So I used to have this thing with this girl I dated in high school. I won't say her name for the sake of her privacy, but it was a white girl that I dated in high school that I thought I was just madly in love with. Well, I cared a lot about her. And we had this thing, right, with our initials, and we would call it BJEC, and then the other one was her initials with the first initial of my name at the beginning. So I don't want to give out her initials. Some of y'all might be smart enough to figure it out. So I was like, well, I'm going to name it after her. I'm going to always have a stamp on it after her. So we're going to call it BJEC. That was going to be the name of the nonprofit. Then I was like, that's dumb. It don't make no sense. So I was sitting around thinking, and I was like, man, I'm going to call it Great. I already say Be Great. So then I was like, it's going to be Great. So then I connected to a consultant. She was like, Great is phenomenal. Let's call it Generation Reaching, Educating, and Teaching. And that became my nonprofit. So the nonprofit was called Great. I was sending out these Be Great text messages. And as we went along, I started doing clothing design, T-shirts and stuff like that. Wanted to get into fashion and clothing. So I was like, I got to name the clothing design because it's going to grow. Right now it's just T-shirts. So Craig, what are you going to call it? I said, why don't you just call it Great Designs and take the S's out and put Z's? There's no meaning for the Z's yet. I'm going to come up with something. But I'm real strategic. Like, I'm almost OCD with this thing, right? I want everything to kind of be symmetrical and in alignment and all make sense and all be connected. So I started calling the clothing line Great Designs. So now you're talking about three connections to me: the Be Great text messages, the Great nonprofit organization, Great Designs clothing. And then I was writing books. So I wrote two devotionals that I'm going to be pressing upon all of y'all to go purchase those. I got a couple more that I need to put out. I just got to get on top of my stuff. But I didn't want to go through a publishing company. So me and my best friend, Logan Wilkins, shout out to Lo, me and her, we were sitting down, we were chatting. She was like, man, do your own publishing company. And then I was talking to this guy. I was like, man, how much would it cost to do my own publishing company? And he showed me, I showed Lo. So we started a book publishing company. I was like, Lo, we got to come up with a name for it. And she was like, you already call everything great. So she was like, call it Great Publishing. So boom, now you're talking about Be Great text messages. You're talking about Great Ink, our nonprofit, Great Designs. And now we have Great Publishing Company. So we're going through all these things. And then just to press it forward, I promise I'm going somewhere with this. So just to press it forward, it was like we got all these things aligned. And then I started doing illustrative sermons. And then illustrative sermons started turning into wanting to do like short films at the beginning of the illustrative sermon. So then we were just playing around filming one of the short films. And when we were editing it, I was like, let's just put Great Productions on it and put a Z at the end of that. So now I'm working toward Great Production. I want to do my own film production company. And then here we are right now with Great Mornings, which is the podcast. And that just stems from anybody that texts me in the morning or who I text in the morning, you know, I always say Great Mornings. Everything that you see that aligns with me right now, other than the churches, are named or have great in them somewhere. Again, just the Be Great text messages that I used to send out, the Great Ink nonprofit that we had, Great Designs, Great Publishing, Great Productions, and now Great Mornings podcast. And all that stemmed from this. This is the story behind the whole idea of great, how I got to the Be Great text messages and sending those out, how I even got to the Great Morning text message that I send out, and even how we got to all these great ideas. I'm pretty cool. Y'all see the play on words right there. But yeah, so how we got to this, my daughter's mother, who is an incredible person, incredible mother, takes care of my daughter, does a phenomenal job. So when her and I were together and we were dating, we dated for 5 years, right? And then we gave birth. Well, she gave birth. I was just a part of the process to our beautiful daughter, Jordan Elizabeth Cray, who I'll talk about in just a second. But she used to always text me Great Morning. Like, she was the initiator in the relationship. So she would always text me Great Morning. And any of you know, whenever you're connected to somebody or somebody sends you something like that, or think about it like this. If you're around a person and they say a certain word all the time or they talk with a certain accent, eventually you'll start to either use that word or you'll start to use that accent. So if she would send me Great Morning every morning, it became a thing. And I would like send it back to her. And then as I became the initiator, I would say Great Morning. And honestly, that's the surface level basic story behind how everything is called great. When you hear these things, the Be Great text message, the great Mornings podcast, the Great Productions, Great Publishing, Great Designs, Great Ink, all of it started with a text message that just became a part of who I was. And as I started to send it back, it really just grew on me. And now I don't know. I can't even undo it. I don't even know how to type Good Morning. Like, it's got to be Great Morning. So that's kind of the idea behind all the great that are connected to me, the birth of great, if you will. Because some people have asked me about that and wanted to know, like, why do you call everything great? Why do you send out this Be Great? Why do you always hashtag that? Why do you always say Great Morning? That's the birth of great. It started with a simple exchange of text messages, and it just stuck with me, right? So that's how that started. And that kind of leads me to something that I'm very passionate about. And shout out to my mom, too. I love you. Love you, Joyce. Shout out to you. I know you're probably listening. But my daughter, Jordan Elizabeth Cray, right? So if you caught on to it, and if I didn't mention, I'll mention this several times throughout this particular session and others, that I don't do really well with the name James, right? I don't, even though it's my first name, I love the fact that my name is James Earl Cray. I love the whole name. So for me, I've always wanted my children to have my initials. So I'm one of those like hopeless romantic is not the term, but I'm one of those kind of romantic guys that think about, you know, I thought about marriage growing up. I thought about what it was like to have kids, and I've always wanted all my children to have my initials. So Jordan is my firstborn child and my only child thus far. And me and her mom came up with an agreement. She knew I wanted her to have my initials. So what's crazy is, and Jordan may not know this, but she will as she get older, is that we were going to name her Jordan Alexis Cray. And I'm so glad we changed that, because I don't know, that would have been no disrespect to nobody else. But Alexis, yeah, that just wouldn't work. So we end up naming her Jordan Elizabeth Cray. It just worked out better that way. And that's my baby girl. She's 10 years old. That's just another part of who I am. So y'all be praying for me as she gets older. She's a beautiful young lady, and I carry weaponry, right? So let's talk about some real stuff real quick. I got a couple things, three things that I want to talk about to y'all, talk with y'all about it, just mention to you, and hopefully these are some things that you can take with you. Building your own platform. One of the things that disturbed me, and I don't know why it disturbs me like this, is that people who are like sitting by the wayside waiting on somebody to give them an opportunity. I've never been that person, right? And what happened and transpired to really develop this thought process for me in building your own platform was, as I was making some transitions in my life and trying to really see what God was calling me to do in ministry, I was encouraged to come back to my hometown at Hazelhurst and have a conversation with a pastor that pastored one of the historical predominantly black historical churches in Hazelhurst, and just tell them, you know, let us come in on the fourth Sunday. My senior pastor that's over me, my spiritual father, he's willing to cover everything and pay for everything. So just let us come in on the fourth Sunday and have a young adult service. Now, note, this church was only having service once a month, and that fourth Sunday was open. We were going to pay for the entire service, pay whatever they needed for the lights, give an offering to the church. My pastor was just encouraging me to go home and gradually start ministry. So when I came, I asked them, I met with them. They gave me, you know, kind of the runaround. And then 2 weeks later, they hit me back with a letter like, nah, we don't think we're going to be able to do that. So when I went back to him, that's when the process started of me leaving that mega church under Dr. E. Dewey Smith Jr., who serves as a spiritual father to me, a senior pastor to me, a mentor to me, etc. So that started the transition from House of Hope Atlanta to me and a couple friends going back and planting Impact Church of Hazelhurst. And really what I felt God sharing with me in that is, if they won't give you a platform, build your own platform. So that was like, that was kind of like the climax of why I started this whole thought process, or what really developed this process of build your own platform. But the birth of it was, and very infant, was when I was at ITC, at my seminary school, working on my second master's degree. I was a part of the Church of God in Christ, which, much love and respect to the Church of God in Christ. They paid for me to go through seminary school. They were great for what it was worth, right? But they have AIM. And if there's any Kojic people listening, y'all know what AIM is. AIM is the big youth conference or the youth convention that they host every year. And I seen a flyer while I was in seminary, a part of the Church of God in Christ's fellowship. I saw a flyer for AIM. Now, again, AIM is this youth convention for youth. And on the flyer, every person that was preaching at AIM was 60 years older, except for one. And I think at the time he was like 34. He was over. He was like the international AIM person, whatever they call it, Church of God in Christ. Y'all know if you Church of God in Christ, you listen. So he was the only one that was preaching there. He was like 34, but the other six or seven preachers were like 60 years and older. And I'm sitting there in seminary school, not getting a lot of opportunities to preach because I'm in seminary. That did not preach in no Kojic churches while I was in seminary. And I'm sitting there like, this is bananas. So I'm waiting on an opportunity from the Church of God in Christ. And I'm a young, fiery preacher at the time. I'm still in my mid, late 20s. No phone call. Nobody came to C.H. Mason, constituent of the ITC, and asked for any of us young preachers to go there. They had 60 years or older except for one. And I knew then someone wasn't right. And then getting to the point that of the transition from House of Hope Atlanta to Impact, it was birthed from that moment. I was like, man, I don't ever want to wait on somebody to give me an opportunity. I'm willing to always build my own platform. And what does that say for some of you that's listening right now? Some of you have sat around and waited on somebody to open the door for you. You waited on somebody to just give you an opportunity. Some of you, especially people that are in the film industry, right? I got this one girl I went to college with. I won't say her name for the sake of protecting her and myself, but I see her all the time on social media, and she's an incredible actress. Like, I see some of her monologues. She is super dope, but she's always waiting around on Tyler Perry, or always submit her stuff to this place and submit it to her, that place. And I don't knock that. But the part that blew me is I sent her a message like, yo, work on this project with me. Let's do this thing ourselves. Never heard from her. But I mean, she is dope, super dope. But it's like, if you got the talent to act, if you've tapped into the industry just a little bit, then why not connect with somebody and build your own platform? Like, y'all, I'm telling y'all, I'm so hyped about just building my own stuff. I don't ever want to have to turn to nobody. Like, I really, if I can have it my own way right now, I will have my own TV network. I will build the platform for my own movies. I'm talking about like Spike Lee building platforms. So my encouragement to some of you that are listening, stop waiting on people to give you an opportunity. Stop waiting on somebody else to open the door for you. Stop waiting on somebody else to call you. Stop sitting by the phone for somebody else to call you. Start building your own platform. I'm not telling you to stop submitting your stuff for opportunities, but I'm telling you, build your own platform. If you want to do commercials, start shooting commercials right now. Post them on social media. Create your own platform. Don't just sit idly by waiting on somebody to give you an opportunity. If you're in ministry and you know there's a call on your life to pastor or to preach, start building that platform. Then I was thinking about this as I typed it, you know, as I was kind of laying out the topics that I wanted to discuss. I thought about this thing, and the first person biblically that fell in my mind was Noah, right? Noah built a boat without any knowledge of what a boat even looked like. Noah was a man of the ground, the Bible says, which means he planted crops. He had a green thumb for us country folk that know what that means. He had never seen a boat in his life, but he built a boat that hosted all these animals and his entire family. He built his own platform. And listen, the boat managed. The boat stood up during a storm. So he didn't just halfway build it. Under the guidance of God, he built that thing, thoroughly built it, securely built it. And I'm telling some of you that are listening right now, you can build your own platform. You say you want to be a life coach? Start being a life coach. Had somebody hit me up the other day. I'll protect her name too. She was like, yo, Cray, I want to start styling people. Start doing it. Build a platform. I know y'all can hear me beat my hand. I'm hyped over here, right? But start building a platform. That's why I told her, I was like, listen, anytime you want to style me, just let me know. I'm that person. I'm going to be the person that's going to encourage everybody to build a platform. And I'm not telling you, and this is going to make segue into the next thing I want to talk about. I'm not telling you that failures won't happen, but I'm telling you right now to start building your own platform. Stop waiting on other people to do it. I say this last part connected to that, right? So I'm fascinated. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a reader. I'm an adamant reader, and knows that I'm fascinated with drug dealers. And I don't know where that came from, but I love the story of Frank Lucas, right? Frank Lucas was a big time $300 million drug dealer, right? In the 50s, 60s. Of course, in New York, Manhattan area, in the Bronx, Harlem area primarily. But anyway, Frank Lucas, most of y'all probably seen the movie American Gangster with Denzel playing in it. But you got to read about Frank Lucas, right? And what Frank Lucas did that really upset the equilibrium of drug dealers, if you will, or went against the status quo of drug dealers, is that at that time in the 50s and 60s, the mafia ran everything. But Frank Lucas, watch this, he cut out the mafia. He cut out the mob. He cut out the Cubans. He went to the source and got the drugs for himself as to why the brother was making $300 million a year. The point that I'm telling you is you don't need the middle man or the middle person, the middle woman, whomever. You don't need them to build your own platform. You can start building your own platform right now. And that makes segue into this thought, right? Failed doesn't mean failure. Let that sink in. Failed doesn't mean failure. And I'm going to make segue into this by using my own experiences. I have failed. So I've been to school. I went to school for a really long time, right? K through 12, like everybody else. Then I went to undergraduate, graduated undergraduate. Then I went and got a master's at Troy University. Then I went back to school and got a second master's at the ITC. So I was in school for a really long time. So I've taken a lot of pop quizzes. I've taken a lot of tests. And the truth is, as intelligent as I think I am, as academically capable as I know I was, I failed a lot of tests. But listen to this and catch this. I failed a lot of tests in grade school, failed a lot of tests, but graduated from high school. Undergraduate, Troy University, major in political science. I failed a lot of tests in class, but I graduated. Master's degree, sport and fitness management, Troy University. I failed some tests during my master's, but I graduated 3.0 first master's. Second master's at the ITC, three of the most grueling years of my life in school. I failed some tests, but I graduated cum laude at the top of my class. The point that I'm making, family, is that just because you fail does not mean you're a failure. Failures are people who waddle in the places where they failed at and never get back up. Successful people fail but get back up. So I'm saying that as a segue into this thought that fail doesn't mean failure, but to connect it with the previous thought of building your own platform. You might fail. You might mess up. You might have some business ideas that you think are just incredible. Here's one that I had. I was going to do a barbershop. I always wanted to do a bar. I can't cut hair, but I always wanted to do a barbershop because I think in rural areas like Hazelhurst, heck, even here in Santa Maria, like the atmosphere that I grew up in at a barbershop, I remember my mom used to drop me off on a Saturday at a barbershop, and I sat in that barbershop with all them grown men, listening to them talk about all kind of stuff, and I missed that kind of atmosphere. So I was like, man, I'm going to start a barbershop. I can do this. I don't cut hair, but I can manage well. I feel like I'm a really good manager. So I got with my barber, my personal barber. I was like, man, let's do it. So we started out. We did free haircuts the first weekend. Didn't work out. I'm talking about we had so many shares of that flyer on Facebook, so much engagement. Opportunity was through the roof. I thought the door swung open. Run through the door and receive the opportunity. Failed. Did not work. Barbershop, womp womp. Over, right? Went through it. I feel like somebody took my idea. They opened up a barbershop. Cool. I was done with the barbershop. Came back 2 years later. I was like, man, I'm feeling the urge to open this barbershop again. I've had some things be a little bit successful. The t-shirt brand was successful. I had a fashion show for the clothing line. It was successful. We had published another person's book. So it was successful. We had people calling about the book publishing company. And, you know, we were trying to work through what this great productions looked like. We was tagging it on our little short films and stuff like that. The nonprofit, great. Great Ink was going through the roof. We were doing some amazing things. So I'm like, let's go. The church Impact was growing. We had paid off our facilities at Impact. So I'm like, yo, let's do it. Let's do the barbershop again. Got ready, hyping people up. Womp womp again. Barbershop didn't work. Two times, this great idea I had, this phenomenal idea, this great opportunity in Hazelhurst, Georgia, no barbershops are there, failed. Then shortly after that, book publishing company did well. I published my two books on it, published another one of my partner's books, had this lady calling me about publishing her book. Just got tired of it. It's a lot in book publishing. Failed. Done. Done with. Over. But here's the thing I learned. Just because I failed at those things, or those things failed, it didn't make me a failure. And what I'm telling some of y'all, in building your own platform, just because you fail, it does not make you a failure. So jump out there. Take a chance. Start the business. Research it. Go after it. Build your platform. Shoot your own commercial. Shoot your own short film. If you want to be a life coach, start coaching somebody in your community. You want to be a trainer? Start training people right now. Try it. Go after it. Do something. Just because you fail at it does not mean you're a failure. So that should be encouragement. Listen. To go after it. Go after it. Build your platform. Don't be afraid to fail, because failing does not make you a failure. Failures are people who stay stuck in the place that they fail. That's not you. That's not me. That's not us. That's not why you're listening to this podcast. You're listening to this podcast because you are not a failure, and you're listening to this podcast because you have a desire to build your own platform. You're listening to this podcast because you are an entrepreneur. You're listening to this podcast because you desire to enter the film industry. You're listening to this podcast because you're a pastor who's looking for inspiration and encouragement on how to build, how to grow, how to expand. You're listening to this podcast because you're an educator right now or working for corporate America, but you know God has bigger for you. That's why you're listening to this podcast. And that explains what you can expect from Great Mornings Podcast. You're going to hear me in conversation with special guests over the next several weeks, talking about different aspects of life in general, connected to ministry, always leading back to bring glory to God. I'm always going to fall back on that. You're going to hear some secular people, but you're going to hear us give glory to God. You're going to hear some people that are bound to their faith in a positive way, if that makes sense. They're grounded in their faith, probably a better way of saying it. They're grounded in their faith. You're going to hear that. But what you can expect, if I just had to flatline it and give you one word, what you can expect from Great Mornings Podcast is inspiration. By the time you get done with the first season of Great Mornings Podcast, you should be inspired. Actually, most of you should be inspired after this first session right now. Like this first episode, you should be inspired right now. If you're not, then I'm not doing what the whole idea of this is. It's to inspire you. That's our word, inspiration. So what you can expect from this podcast, there will be guests. There will be some fun topics. There will be laughter. I believe there's going to be moments where there's tears shed. There's going to be serious moments. But if I had to sum it up in one word, you can expect Great Mornings Podcast to give you inspiration. Think about that. Think about that. Inspiration. And then finally, as I get ready to let y'all go, I'm so hyped. I could keep going on and on, but I want to be fair to your time. And I want you to listen to this all the way through. So listen, all of you, if you are not following me right now on social media, then you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Go follow me right now. Facebook, it's my name, my whole name, James Earl Cray. That's me. Go find me on Facebook. Send me a friend request. Instagram, you can really just type in my whole name, James Earl Cray, but the actual handle is J_Earl, E-A-R-L, _Cray, C-R-A-Y. See what I did there? The J, I don't know what it is with me and my name, James. I'm just not feeling it. I don't like when people call me that. It bothers me when I have to say James Cray. But y'all see what I did there with the handle? I just put J_Earl_Cray. And that's the same handle on Twitter. So go follow me on Instagram, on Twitter. Go follow me on Facebook. Go follow me on TikTok. I don't have that many TikToks up there, but sometimes I like to be silly and record stuff and put it on TikTok. All right. So listen, family, I want you to go follow me on all of those platforms. Make sure you do that. Tell your friends to follow me too. Help me get my followers up. But the thing that I really want you to do is make sure you share this podcast with somebody. If you were honestly inspired today, please go share this podcast with somebody. Copy it, share it, text it, paste it, send it, however you got to do it. Send it to them. If you got an Android or Apple phone, make sure you listen to this podcast. Family, that's my time. Again, I can't say it enough. I'm super hyped. I'm super stoked about what Great Mornings Podcast is going to bring to the table. Inspiration. And I want to inspire you by saying this as I go. No matter what obstacles you face today, no matter what issues transpire in your life today, no matter what comes your way, always remember this, that it's a great day to be great. Family, I love you, but God loves you so much more. Have a phenomenal rest of your day. Check us out next week. Love you. Peace.